Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskaru, Krishna says. Think of me, worship me, become my devotee, and kirtan, you know, chant the holy name, Satyatam Kirtayanto Mam. The devotees are always chanting my name. Easy, kirtan. But they cover it all over, they make it so complicated. Or they're just cheating. So I was telling them, you read this Bhagavad Gita as it is, this will clear it up. But he was saying, okay, I'll buy it when I go to the temple. I said, just take it free, no. But then he talked a lot more and telling me all about his life, and then in the morning he was very happy to take the Bhagavad Gita. So I hope he gets Bhagavad Gita as it is. Prabhupada, our spiritual master's Bhagavad Gita is very simple. So if you make a resolution to read that every day, even 5 minutes, to chant every day, whatever you can, you'll get stronger and stronger. You'll automatically want to read it more and more. You'll find that you can keep it with you, and whenever we have actually so much time, even someone who's working very hard in the office, when you could actually, you know, I know people make cards with slokas. Some devotees write on their hand some sloka, you know, so they can study. The Maha Mantra you can learn very quickly, and just make that determination, and, you know, utilize our time when we're stuck somewhere in the traffic or stuck in a queue. Chant. Take it. Say, okay, this is a good opportunity to be stuck in the queue because I have time to chant now. There's nothing else to do, right? You can look at it that way, or you can just get angry and say, you know, why is this happening, and why I should be ahead, and who pushes ahead of me, and why is this happening? Or we can think, okay, now I have time to chant, time to read the Bhagavad Gita. So this is called a vrata, a resolution, vow. So we should make positive vows to do some devotional service, to go to the temple once a week or once a day, depending on, or, you know, chant every day. Step by step, one thing after another, eat only Krishna prasadam, you know, offer everything to Krishna, give some charity to Krishna. Anybody can find something they can do and start doing that and keep it up, and then you naturally, automatically, will do more and more. And then you can help us to go to all these other countries. Sometimes people hear, like, Israel, how can... But everywhere there's a spirit soul. And when everybody wants Krishna. So when they... You know, when they hear about Krishna, when they get the chance, or they read Bhagavad Gita, they hear the holy name, they'll automatically be attracted. And that way we see more and more that Krishna is in everyone's heart. And in India also, so many people are madly trying to get away from Krishna, even though they had the great opportunity to be born in India. The Kali Yuga is, you know, working very hard to drag them away, drag us all down, right? So many advertisements. I saw the Samsung phone. I saw one that was as big as this wall yesterday. And it said, fully color and fully addictive. But addiction is generally bad, right? But they're promoting it. There's signboards all over London, and it says, feed your addiction. I don't know what they're advertising. I didn't catch, but one of them had a picture of a woman with about 20 pairs of shoes. You know. The big eyes, like, you know, get more shoes, you know. Be addicted. Don't hold back. Don't control your senses. Right? Now at the Chandan Cinema in Juhu is this movie, it's a new one, called Kill Bill. It's the most violent movie ever made, I think. And then the signboards in London said, forget mercy, forget compassion, and forget forgiveness. Get revenge. Complete opposite, you know, of anything spiritual. But all over they're promoting this. Drink whiskey, all over the cigarette ads in Bombay, the whiskey ads, this beer, there's so many. And sex, every one of them is also promoting simultaneously sex, all the cinema. It's getting more and more obscene, the fashion. So Kali is not taking rest because so many people are taking to spiritual life. He's worried. But if we take shelter of the holy name regularly and we understand that this is, these people are trying to, you know, just exploit everyone, just get your money, you know, promote sense gratification. We're promoting a revolution, complete change, you know, against Kali Yuga. But that's happiness, that, you know, we'll be free from all these influences. We don't have to watch television. We don't have to, you know, go to the cinema. We don't have to, in order to live, you don't need these things. But in order to be really happy and to make your human life worthwhile, we do need to chant the holy name of God. We do need to understand, you know, the future. Beyond this life, there's much more. Not only, you know, they're teaching live for the moment. You may die tomorrow. They're promoting all this fear and anxiety, terrorism and war. But the soul doesn't die. The soul is going to live. So better to, you know, just be worried about spiritual life and be determined to make some vow. Okay, I will do this, I'll do that. And gradually become completely transcendental to all these things. No anxiety. So time is going. You want to have questions? Is that right? Did I speak too fast?
No, Maharaj.
In Africa, it's in Nigeria, they speak English, you know. And we went to the university, and another devotee from Italy was with me, so he has an accent. And they all said they couldn't understand me, but they could understand him very well. They can't understand native English, you know. So we tried to be careful, but my English is so messed up now. Because every country have to adjust.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a very wonderful presentation. So, we are very grateful to Kavi Chandra Maharaj and Yagya Purush Prabhu for sharing their experiences in Krishna consciousness. Maharaj has spent most of his time in Japan, and Yagya Purush Prabhu in USA, New York, places where most Indians want to go, settle down and enjoy life. But they have spent their lives completely dedicated to Srila Prabhupada's mission. And what they are sharing with us is not simply theoretical knowledge, but their experiences as they have spent their lives completely dedicated to this message of the Gita and the Bhagavatam. And I'm sure many of you may have many questions for them. So we are going to have a question-answer session. But before that, I would like to welcome two special guests who are with us. Mr. Ashok Agarwal, who is in the import-export business in chemicals, and Mr. Tripathi, who is the Chief Manager, Public Relations, Union Bank of India. So we are grateful to both of them that they have come here today for our Prerna Festival. Let us welcome them by loudly chanting.
Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!
So now we can have some questions till 8:30. And at 8:30 we will have our drama. So please do not leave before the drama begins. It's a very, very special drama which has been specially prepared by the devotees, and I request Gaur Gopal Prabhu to make all of them ready. So now we can have question answer session. If any of you have any questions, you can please raise your hands or you can send chits to me, and you can direct your questions to either of the two speakers. Hare Krishna. Any questions?
Okay, there's one, two.
Yes.
Three.
एक बार मैं ट्रेन में जा रहा था तो एक
माइक्रोफोन होल्ड इट दिस ओके
एक बार मैं ट्रेन में जा रहा था तो एक पर्सन थे उन्होंने कहा कि ये जो नेचर चलता है वो फोर लॉज से चलता है लॉज ऑफ अट्रैक्शन एंड लॉज ऑफ होना और उसका चलना तो लॉ ऑफ अट्रैक्शन हेलो लॉ ऑफ अट्रैक्शन के बारे में मैं कुछ पूछना चाहता हूँ देयर आर टू सेक्स इन दिस वर्ल्ड मेल एंड फीमेल तो इन दोनों में जो अट्रैक्शन होता है एक दूसरे को देखने के बाद वो क्या सही है या गलत है इज इट राइट और रॉन्ग ये होना चाहिए या नहीं होना चाहिए
हरे कृष्ण श्रीमद् भागवत सेज पुंसा स्त्रिया मैथिली भावमेतम व्हाट्स द रेस्ट ऑफ दैट जगे Pungsa Striya Maitani Bhavametam. The attraction between the man and a woman, this is a binding force of the, you know, the, this is of the material world that's natural in every species. So of course, now there's attraction between men and men, and women and women. In Finland, we're invited very often to the schools, the high schools, and they have classes in ethics. And the teachers are very, very nice, and they like us very much. So I asked, what are you talking about? And the student said, well, homosexuality, divorce, suicide, you know, what are these things all right? And then when you say no, they say, but we saw the TV documentary said there's homosexual animals, but what about this case? What about that? What about this? They've been brainwashed. So that attraction is very, very strong. And one has to utilize it properly. That's why there's marriage amongst humans. Animals are restricted in their sex life for the most part to certain seasons. But the human is more advanced, so we have much more opportunity to do whatever we want. So the human can, if he wants to, they can, you know, have any time, any place. But it's not meant for that. It's meant for controlled. So in Kali, in the age of Kali, is promoting, you know, trying to agitate people, but this lust to enjoy the opposite sex for our own pleasure is generally means exploiting. You know, women want to get a rich husband, men want to get a beautiful wife, so everyone will think that there's something special. And so this is a, you know, and people think maitani bhavametam that yan maitunadi grihamedi sukami tucham, that they think that this sex life, which is like the rubbing of two hands together to relieve an itch, is the greatest pleasure, the most important thing in life. But it's actually a very flickering pleasure, very short-lived, and unrestricted sex can lead to so many problems, frustration, anger, you know, so one has to utilize things properly. Husband and wife, then they should live together, serving each other in a regulated, civilized way, and ultimately, you know, for the service of Krishna. But that attraction is very, very, very powerful, and you know, one should be very careful how to. Ultimately, it's really attraction for Krishna. They're promoting the beautiful bodies everywhere, so many magazines, so many pictures. If a woman has a beautiful body, they pay them $10,000 an hour or something for pictures, right? For a few years until they get a little old. $20 million they get in America for one movie. But the dead body, it's not really the body that we're attracted to. We're attracted to the soul. You can see the beautiful, beautiful body dancing, and you'll be very, very attracted. But the same body dead, you're not attracted. Of course, I don't know in India, in Japan or America, you have to be very careful because there are very diseased people that like dead bodies. So they'll say, but what about the, you know, necrophiliacs? They like dead bodies. So you're wrong. But that's an exception. You know, most people, they don't like dead bodies. They're horrible. It's not attractive. But they, so one can see the beautiful body of a woman, or a woman can see the beautiful body of a man. The lusty man, he sees, you know, this is an object for his pleasure. And if someone is very, very lusty, then they see everybody as very beautiful. Even a pig or a dog or a cow or anything. And that's, and every scripture warns against this. You shouldn't have sex with your mother. You shouldn't have sex with your sister. You shouldn't have sex with an animal. Because people do those things. It's real. The brahmachari, he sees a dead body. You know, like Buddha, he told his followers, the young boys, if you see a beautiful young girl, meditate that she'll be an old woman very soon. The old woman, you don't, you know, usually, some people are, you know, mad after old women also. You know, there's an exception to every rule. People in America, 80-year-old women get raped. And 3-year-old children get raped. You know, this is Kali Yuga. It's really bad. That's when the lust is promoted and there's no restriction, no control, and all these horrible things happen. And the dog, he just sees something to eat, the beautiful woman. That's why they lick the nose and see if it's alive or not. And if it's a dead body, then they'll eat. So one can look at it in different ways. The soul is what's really attractive, and the soul is part and parcel of Krishna. So the really attractive thing is Krishna. So by practicing chanting, looking at the beautiful form of the Lord, hearing about Krishna, then real attraction, we become clear vision and understand what's really all attractive. Krishna means all attractive. And it means also the greatest pleasure. That's what the word means in Sanskrit. So if we associate with Krishna, then we'll experience that. Then these other things will fall into place, and then we can utilize them in their proper perspective. Otherwise, we go mad. So then we have a society that's full of rape, full of murder, full of divorce, full of unwanted children. All these things, because people are thinking that they have to gratify immediately gratify any urge of the body, which it just comes and goes like this anyway. And gratifying it makes it worse. All right? Next, though. He was the first one.
Any other question? Yes, send the mic behind. In the meantime, there is another question. We make New Year resolutions in devotional service, but they last only for a few days or a few months. How should we try to follow them throughout the year? Maybe switch on the other mic.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Germans are very good at regulated life. They're famous for that, on schedule, doing everything, right? So ask him.
So we recommend that before you make your resolution, you have to really honestly ask yourself, can I really do it? So it should be not just some, you know, just a game or just a joke or something. If you really want to change a habit, if you want to change something in your life that you don't like, try to change it. And certain things are more difficult to give up than others. Then you realize, whoa, I can't do it. I tried and I failed. So is that the end of the story? That's it? No. Actually, and this is nice, and in devotional service and spiritual life, we can get so much help. Ultimately, we need, you know, superior help. You know, ultimately Krishna has to help. Krishna is Rishikesh. He is the master of the senses. And he knows our desires, so he is in our heart. Savastya chaham ririsani vishto mata smitya jnanam aponaham cha. Krishna says, I'm situated in the heart of every living entity, and from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So if Krishna, if we can actually remember Krishna and understand that we are actually part and parcel of Krishna, that really nothing really belongs to us, then that Krishna is the owner, the master of my senses, and then when we say, Krishna, you please help me. I do my share. I engage my senses in your service. And then what happens is, and Krishna, because he's the master of the senses, he will control the senses. It is not really in our power. So that is in a very, very important, it's the first, one of the first things we realize from coming to a spiritual life, that how we are not the doer, not the ownership. Like this Vyasasana I'm sitting here on right now, this was given to me, was offered to me by Gauranga Prabhu, by the organizers of this event. So now I'm sitting very comfortably, I'm using it, but it would be foolish for me now to assume that's my Vyasasana now, just because I'm sitting on it. You know, I don't think I would go very far with this, although it's a pretty big Vyasasana, it's tough to drag around anyway. But, you know, if somebody offers you a seat, you don't naturally claim proprietorship. So similarly also, just, you know, we're having this body, you know, we're finding ourselves in this body. Is it my body? Did I create it? No. Is it yours forever? Who knows? Maybe for a day, or maybe tomorrow you're paralyzed. If Krishna doesn't give you remembrance, if Krishna doesn't give me intelligence, I don't know what I'm going to say in the next minute. It's not in my power. Krishna is giving that. So this is something we have to realize. Krishna is giving intelligence, knowledge, and forgetfulness. And the more we meditate on that and try to realize that, then we will also naturally then also align our desires with Krishna's desires. Because again, this body, this mind, everything ultimately belongs to him. So therefore, naturally, it is the natural purpose, the function of this body and of my mind is to serve him. So, and then because he is the master of the senses, he is all powerful, so naturally he will then follow through and give us the strength to control our mind and senses. It is the only way to go. There is no other way. Certainly some people, just by their previous karma or by their determination, we can get certain things done. But this is maybe temporarily this might be true. But ultimately, what to understand, what is for my ultimate good, what gives me the ultimate, the deepest satisfaction, is only the satisfaction of the soul. It is not on the realm of the mind and senses. So therefore, and this is something that also only Krishna can give us that satisfaction. So in any case, we're only making the most intelligent choice by serving and dedicating and offering our senses, our desires to Krishna. And then when we make a resolution, when we just said, okay, Krishna, I want to offer this to you, I want to make this for you, then Krishna, the heart said, oh, then when Krishna accepts, consider it done. And Krishna gives the strength. He gives the remembrance. He allows you to remember why you made this, took this vow or make this resolution. Because we have good reasons to do it. We have a realization. You know, this habit is bad for me. I don't want it. Okay, I want to stop it. But then what happens? Because it's such a habit, and then the habit kicks in, and the desires, the strong urge comes, and then we forget. We just totally forget why we made that decision in the first place. We can't remember. All we can remember is, I want it. So, but once we align our desires with Krishna, Krishna will help us remember. No. You remember? Why? You don't want this, and why you want to change your habit? Oh, that's right. Thank you. And it's over. And then we realize, oh, Krishna helped me. This was Krishna. So that is the sign of true intelligence of a devotee, that we know how to make these resolutions. First of all, we don't want any nonsensical resolutions. We want to make something that's really beneficial for us. Deeply think about it, and then try to offer this to Krishna. And then if you're still not sure if you should make this resolution, then you can also ask somebody who's spiritually a little bit more, you know, advanced than you, who knows Krishna a little better. He said, you know, do you think this is a good resolution? Do you think this is something worthwhile pursuing? Should really try to do this, because, you know, I tried so many resolutions and it never really did anything. I couldn't, you know, sustain my conviction or my determination. So then maybe you want to ask somebody who is a little more advanced and say, you think, is this a good resolution, or is it something, you know, is this the right way, the way I approach it? And when you ask somebody who's more advanced, then you have that support also and say, yes, this is good. This is a good meditation. I say, no, maybe they say, no, it's not good. There's some, try this. So in this way, you have a better chance to be successful. Does it satisfy your answer? I guess, well, we'll find out.
Any more? Probably could go on once they get started. Then, to counteract the advertisement billboards of Kali Yuga, why not the Society of ISKCON promote billboards? Yes, that's what I say also. I think basically there's one billboard someone told me near here, it cost 1 lakh rupees daily. Right? So that's one reason that it's very, very expensive. But that's why we want more and more help. Devotees invite people in their home, or, you know, wear a tilak, which is a big advertisement actually. When you wear this sign on your head, everyone who sees it, even they don't know what it is, they think of Krishna. And they get great benediction. So we can do things like that. And we can, if whatever one thinks about can, you know, dream eventually happen, that we can advertise more and more. We do have television shows on, I think, ZTV now.
Yeah, well.
Regularly. But we need help to do that. And whatever anyone can do to go out and chant publicly, to give Bhagavad Gitas, now you'll see in all the major train stations devotees, you know, right? And wherever you can, if you can put a signboard on your house, that's free. So. But we can think, the reason is we just don't, we're not so determined. These people that are advertising the beer and cigarettes, they want money, they want sales, and they're greedy. And sometimes we're not that, you know, we think, okay, I've got Krishna consciousness, but we want to think of many ways to give it to everybody, promote this. Thank you.
You told that by chanting and associating with devotees, we can become free from material bondage. But very often when we need to associate with material friends, we become like them in spite of chanting and associating with devotees, how is it possible not to become like them? Yeah. Yes, this is a very good question, a very often asked question. It's a typical, you can say, dilemma, especially we are faced in the beginning, when we are neophytes, the beginning of the spiritual path. First of all, this is a good sign. That means you are serious, that actually a genuine, you know, you genuinely took to Krishna consciousness, that a genuine paradigm shift has taken place. Your vision, your values has changed, and you really you had what Maharaj was talking about. You had that higher taste, because before we were doing anything and everything. We were sleeping. Let's say would come, the weekend would come, or you know, and we had nothing to do. We just slept all weekend. We thought that was a great weekend. I slept all weekend. Fantastic. It was great. You know. So now for a devotee just to sleep all weekend, this is like, you know, unbearable. What a waste of time. Right? Of course, we have to sleep enough so we are rested, but just sleeping all weekend, not doing anything, just watching TV, what a horrible waste of time. So that has, this change has taken place. This is very good. Now, we have to understand how we can sustain that, how we can maintain that, to living on that platform of devotional service. Well, we have to understand that naturally there's going to be some tension there, because, you know, we can't be surprised. We ourselves lived, you know, have lived just like, you know, our friends we associated with before. So naturally there is some friction there. Usually what we recommend is not to become judgmental or criticize or become heavily involved in pointing faults at your friends, anything, because honestly speaking, we're not anything better. We're not anything, but just 5 minutes ago we were doing the same things they did. Just, you know, 5 minutes or 5 days or 5 weeks or 5 months ago. So, I mean, really, what's our qualification? We're not really any. The only thing is now we have a change. You know, something changed in us. We want to live a certain lifestyle, and that's our free choice. Nobody will argue that. It's just the question is, how are we communicating this? How are we relating this to our people? You know, let's say in a work environment. Let's say you have to go to work. You have to, you know, pay the bills. So so the question, the main mistake devotees make, that we have a little bit, either we are too fanatical, we preach too much about our previous friends, and download the whole philosophy on them, and like in one, they ask us one question. So what is that on your face, or why you're chanting? And then half an hour, 1 hour later, they're still. Is sitting there and listening to our one monologue we hold, because we are downloading the whole philosophy on them. So naturally, this is too much. It's an overload, and they just, you know, and they cannot appreciate. You think that you're fanatical, or that you're, you know, you're just repeating what you read in a book or something. So, and it's understandable. You know, we had an experience, so we want to share it. It's like, you know, I give the example. It's like falling in love. You know, coming to Krishna consciousness is like falling in love with Krishna. The souls fell in love with God. This is the most powerful experience there is. So you're very, very fortunate. But can you explain this to somebody? Can you dissect it and say exactly what happened and what the experience is? No, it is an experience. So people don't have it. Somebody who doesn't have the same experience can't relate with what you're going through. So you have to keep that in mind. At the same time, you know, we have to protect ourselves. You know, we don't want to lose that love. That we found this jewel, and we don't want anybody allow us to steal this from us. We want to protect it. So that's, you know, the simple way of doing that is that you know, obviously you come, you associate, and always learn to keep your appreciation, your renewed appreciation of the jewel of Krishna consciousness. And you ask for advice, practical advice, and you reveal your mind to those who are in a similar situation than you. Hmm? There is no hard and fast, it's not one thing, this is what you do and then it will solve your problem. It is something, because really you have to understand, this is part of the process of for you maturing in spiritual life. That you deeply internalize and become humble and compassionate. Because now you could possibly have an attitude, you could look down on those people who are eating meat or have intoxication. You think you're better. Right there, you failed the test. You failed the test. You think you're more elevated. You're better than others. You're not. It's simply by Krishna's causeless mercy, somehow or other, we came in touch. Somehow Krishna, by his kindness, is controlling our mind and senses. For now, we don't know for how long, right? We can't for sure. I'm going to be a pure devotee for sure. Who knows, right? So. Therefore, who are we to say that we are better? So Krishna, this is part of the training process Krishna is putting us through, that we have to learn how to relate to all kinds of people. This is what an advanced devotee knows. He knows how to relate with everybody. And guess what? Krishna put you on the path. He took your desire seriously, your commitment seriously. You want to become my devotee? Okay, I'll take care of you. I'll train, I'll give you all the necessary education you need to come to me. And one of them is that you become humble, that you really understand where you came from, but also that you learn how to relate to those of my part and parcel, all those jivas who are also part and parcel of me, but maybe who are not as advanced as you, who haven't had that same realization. But are you going to look down on them? Are you going to condemn them? Or are you going to be compassionate towards them? Because that's the key. Otherwise, you're asking for trouble. You're setting yourself up. Because, as I say, pride cometh before the fall. Because if you think you're better, and first of all, you're doing a disservice to Srila Prabhupada, because you come up.
Just like I told that story of the devotee in Russia, he said they have many devotees in Russia who first, found out about Krishna, or they were very much against, because they'd heard this propaganda from the communists, how bad Krishna is. But then they started talking about Krishna all the time, and gradually they change, because the name of Krishna has such a powerful effect. So I don't know if you could say worship exactly, that's another thing, but in one sense, the Mahabhagavat, the topmost devotee, they'll see that everyone is worshipping Krishna, because Maya is Krishna's energy, everything is Krishna's energy, so even the people that are, it's ultimately Krishna that they're attracted to. But we don't want to think, well, that's okay for me, I'll worship Krishna in that way. I'll worship Krishna by, chasing, by drinking beer and thinking that Krishna is the taste of the beer. Krishna says, Rasoham apsokonteya, I am the taste of the water. And Prabhupada once said, the taste of the liquid. So he said, even in America we have what they call winos. They just live by drinking wine. They can't even eat. If they eat, they just immediately throw up. And their brain is almost gone. And they never think of anything but wine. They come up to any group of people and just say, give me a little paisa, I'll get some wine. So Prabhupada said, even them, if they're drinking the wine and they're thinking this taste is Krishna, then they will become saintly people. But it will take a long time. But every time they taste it, they think, oh, this is Krishna. By the name of Krishna, even blaspheming, even jokingly, even just for musical entertainment, even not knowing at all what it is, even by accident, eventually they'll get purified. So, as we preach, some people will criticize, some people will be talking, oh, those stupid Hare Krishnas, and why are they doing this? By saying the name of Krishna, they will make some benefit.
Sure.
Ready for the drama? Or? Okay. So after the drama is prasadam. If anybody wants to ask more questions, we can sit here for a little while. If you can. Or one time, I think it was a professor, he came to our grand spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. He said, I have many, many questions to ask you. So he said, well, I'm busy now, but if you just go and help the pujari for a while, then come back, I'll answer all your questions. So he went, and the pujari had him polishing the brass and cleaning this and putting things away. And he came back, and so the spiritual master said, now, what about your questions? He said, well, somehow or other, while I was doing all that, all my questions have been answered. So I don't have any more questions. And that was the point, that by serving Krishna, then everything clears up, you know. Thank you very much. I want to thank everybody very much for coming. It's very, very gratifying to see so many young people in a city where there's so much opportunity for every kind of sense gratification or so-called pleasure to come to the temple, to take the time and trouble, and it's very, very enlivening, and we're very happy to see this, and our this spiritual master is very, very happy to see this. Krishna is very happy. So, bahut dhanyavad.